Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's Monday, the 26th of January. A very good morning to wherever you may be listening to us. Welcome to DW's Africa Link programme. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, US Secretary of State John Kerry holds talks with Nigeria's President Goodluck Jonathan in Lagos, hours after suspected Boko Haram militants carry out attacks in the northeast of the country.
Let me be clear. Anyone who participates in, plans, or calls for widespread or systematic violence against the civilian population must be held accountable, including by ineligibility for an American visa.
And Edgar Lungu is sworn in as Zambia's sixth president.
I want to hand you a new constitution. We will definitely deliver a people-driven constitution.
Those stories and more coming up in the next 25 minutes. Stay with us.
Top story.
In Borno State, northeastern Nigeria, Boko Haram fighters overran the town of Monguno and captured a military base on Sunday. They also attacked Maiduguri, the state's capital. The attacks came during a visit to Nigeria by US Secretary of State John Kerry, of which we will be hearing more in a moment. But first, shortly before we went on the air, I asked our northern Nigeria correspondent, Muhammad Al-Amin, to bring us up to date on the capture of Monguno.
Nothing has changed so far. Monguno was captured by Boko Haram. Monguno is situated 120 kilometers along Maiduguri Bahaga. It was totally under control of Boko Haram as I'm talking to you. And so many soldiers, family, and other residents of Monguno were trapped. They are still in Monguno right now.
Is any sort of army operation underway to try and recapture the town?
Yes, the military at their own end are saying that they are trying to recapture the town. They are, according to a statement from the military, that the aerial and land operation is going on right now to see that the Monguno was recaptured.
Heavy fighting between Boko Haram and the Nigerian army has also been reported at near the town of Maiduguri, the biggest city in northeastern Nigeria. Has the army been able to repel these attacks?
Yes, the Nigerian army has successfully repelled the attack to take over Maiduguri, which was lasted hours yesterday. And right now, the situation in Maiduguri is calm. The military that they imposed the 24-hour curfew that was imposed yesterday was lifted early this morning, according to a statement from the 7th Division of the Nigerian Army spokesman, Colonel Sani Usman. The residents of Maiduguri were free to go about their normal business from 6 o'clock this morning.
What about other towns and cities in northeastern Nigeria? Has the army taken any precautions to secure them?
Yeah, there are a lot of military operations. They are going patrolling the area, more especially in Damaturu and some other parts that are very close to Maiduguri. Military has taken a serious action to see that they secure all those places.
Mohammed Al-Amin. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has urged both Nigeria's President Goodluck Jonathan and the leader of the country's main opposition, Muhammadu Buhari, to accept the results of the upcoming presidential elections so as to avoid any potential post-election violence in a country already reeling from an insurgency. He made the call after meeting the two leaders in Lagos on Sunday. Kerry pledged further US support in efforts to defeat the militants. Our correspondent in Lagos, Sam Olukoya, reports.
On his visit to Nigeria, John Kerry, the American Secretary of State, held separate meetings with President Goodluck Jonathan and Muhammadu Buhari, the presidential candidate of the opposition All Progressives Congress. Mr. Kerry said he told both men on the need for a peaceful election. He threatened U.S. sanctions against troublemakers.
Let me be clear. Anyone who participates in, plans, or calls for widespread or systematic violence against the civilian population must be held accountable, including by ineligibility for an American visa. Violence has no place in democratic elections, and I can guarantee you that the perpetrators of such violence would not be welcome in the United States of America.
In the last days, Nigeria has seen a wave of violence between supporters of President Jonathan and those of Muhammadu Buhari. The U.S. Secretary of State also expressed concern at the violent activities of the Islamist group Boko Haram, which he saw as a threat to democracy. His arrival in Nigeria coincided with heavy fighting in Maiduguri, where soldiers battled Boko Haram members who are attempting to take over the Borno State capital. The attack on Maiduguri came less than 24 hours after President Jonathan addressed a rally in the city with a pledge to curb the Boko Haram insurgency.
We must surely overcome terror. We must surely conquer Boko Haram. We must surely return Borno State to what we know as a peaceful state, the state of peace. We must do everything to make sure that all the people kidnapped, including the Chibok girls, get back home.
President Jonathan has made several pledges in the past to contain the Boko Haram insurgency, but in reality, the insurgency is growing. Earlier this month, Boko Haram carried out what is seen as the worst attack in the last 6 years. Elections are not likely to hold in parts of Nigeria being held by Boko Haram. The group, which says it does not recognize democracy, has declared the areas it is holding an Islamic caliphate.
Sam Olukaya reporting from Lagos.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Edgar Lungu, Zambia's sixth president, was sworn in on Sunday, a day after the country's electoral commission declared him the winner of a poll brought about by the death of President Michael Sata in October of last year. Lungu, who belongs to Sata's Patriotic Front Party, pledged to unite the southern African country and focus on building the economy of the continent's second biggest copper producer, which has been hit by falling prices. From Lusaka, Kathy Sikombe reports.
This is the culmination of 5 days of anxiously waiting for election results by Patriotic Front supporters in the capital, Lusaka. The elections were held at the peak of the rainy season, which caused logistical nightmares. However, they have been declared largely peaceful, free and fair by both local and international observers. Speaking during his inauguration in Lusaka Sunday, newly elected President Edgar Lungu promised to enact a constitution.
I want to hand you a new constitution. We will definitely deliver a people-driven constitution, as per the roadmap recently released.
One of the losing candidates, Edith Nawakwi of the Forum for Democracy and Development Party, FDD, attributed the opposition's loss to the fact that Edgar Lungu was Justice and Defense Minister at the time of the elections.
But one of our candidates seems to be getting preferential treatment by virtue of his office. These are the reasons why people get anxious. They may be brushed aside, but these are real issues.
When asked to state what lessons the Electoral Commission of Zambia learned, Commission Chairperson Justice Irene Mambilima had this to say.
In the way that we have conducted this election, I think ECZ has gone backwards in terms of ensuring transparency at every level. We need to put our house in order, we know our seasons, and avoid having elections at a time like this one. So what we have learned is that let's have our constitution and let's address this problem.
The UNDP country representative, Janet Logan, was happy with the way the elections were conducted.
But I think the great thing is the people of Zambia have chosen again to do a peaceful transition by elections, and they've shown the world how to do it. Even in the rainy season, the Electoral Commission has done a fantastic job in responding to the challenges, really getting in the final results at the very last minute.
And that report was compiled by Kathy Sikomba in Lusaka. Let's head now to Zimbabwe, where two young women have taken the government to the Constitutional Court. The women are seeking a ruling under which no one in Zimbabwe, whether girl or boy, may enter into a marriage, including an unregistered customary law union, before attaining the age of 18. From Harare, Columbus Mavhunga reports.
We are at the Zimbabwe's Constitutional Court, where history was made by two teenage girls, Loveness Manzuru and Ruvimbo Tsopodzi. They say Zimbabwe has had enough of early marriages. They were married themselves before the age of 18. In the background there is Olivia Zwedi, a lawyer acting for President Robert Mugabe's government, who is arguing against the application by the two teenagers for early marriages to be declared illegal. Outside the courtroom, Zwedi refused to talk to journalists. But Tendai Biti, the former Zimbabwean finance minister, who is now practicing law and representing the two teenage girls, was prepared to speak.
These are young children. Now, our constitution protects children, and children are defined as those that are between the age of 0 to 18. So what we are trying to do is to say that there can be no marriage, no union, before someone reaches the age of 18. That is the only way we can protect girls.
He was referring to the need to protect a girl's right to go to school and to protect her right to choose her own career. There is, however, no guarantee that the court would deliver a ruling in their favor. According to Plan International, an organization fighting for children's rights worldwide, Zimbabwe is one of what they call hotspots. Half of all girls in Zimbabwe get married before the age of 18. Beatrice Savage, the director of Real Opportunities for Transformation Supporters, a gender rights group, was touched by the plight of the two teenagers and convinced them to take the issue to the court.
This application came out as a result of our campaign that we're doing on ending child marriages. It's called the No Tribe for Marriage campaign. So it's part of our ongoing campaign on ending child marriages that we're doing in Zimbabwe. And we have seen a lot of cases of child marriages in different provinces where we're going and conducting community dialogues with chiefs.
Meeting traditional leaders and taking the Zimbabwean government to court is part of what Sawajge and the two teenage girls have done to make a difference. They want early marriages to end in this southern African country.
Columbus Mavhunga reporting. In about 10 minutes from now, I'll be back with a summary of our main stories. But first, we pay another visit to the Crossroads generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello there. You've tuned in just in time for Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation. Our future starts today.
We're in the third season of this ongoing radio series. Last time, we heard Msoto, the father of 18-year-old Mercy, in the courtroom. He was testifying against the wealthy politician Mukaraba in a case of illegal adoption they were both involved in years ago. So things aren't looking good for Mukaraba, but he's not the type to give up easily. Meanwhile, Msoto's daughter Mercy is having trouble with her boyfriend, Nicky Jumbe. Nicky's father was admitted to hospital, and when Mercy wanted to see him, Nicky's mother threw her out of the room.
Just ignore her, Mercy, darling. I love you.
You have a strange way of showing it. I always knew your mother didn't like us being together, and that she hates the fact that I have a child who isn't yours. But I thought that was just her.
When Mercy ran away after that fight, she met Tina, a friend from university.
Hey, Mercy, listen. I'm sorry I was abrupt on the phone last time you called. How about I make it up to you and take you out for a drink tonight?
We can drive around in this nice car.
This is a 15th episode called Step on the Brake, and we start off in hospital where Nikki's parents are talking to the doctor.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Jumbe.
Hello, Dr. Roberts.
Mr. Jumbe, I think you can go home soon. But first, I need to ask you a few questions. Have you had any health problems recently?
No, I've just been feeling rather tired.
I see.
Janet,
yeah?
Please pass me the water again. I'm really thirsty.
Okay.
Thanks.
Do you often feel thirsty, Mr. Jumbe?
Oh, yes. All the time. I guess it's the hot weather.
What about intense hunger pangs?
Well, I certainly like to eat. But I've been trying to lose some weight, so I haven't been eating much lately.
Okay. That could be the reason why you fainted. But I'm afraid there might be something else. Our initial tests show that you may suffer from diabetes.
What?
What? What exactly is diabetes?
It's a disease that disturbs the production of a substance called insulin and the way our body processes it. It's a very important substance because it helps convert energy from the food we eat and transport it to the cells in our body. If it doesn't do the job properly, the energy just stays stuck in our blood in the form of sugar.
But I told you I don't feel ill, just a little tired.
Well, that can be one of the signs. People with diabetes might feel tired or thirsty or have to pee more often than usual, for example. And they often don't take this sign seriously. But it's very important to see a doctor.
I can't believe this.
Don't worry. People with diabetes can and do manage their lives perfectly well. In some cases, a healthy diet and regular exercise are enough to make a difference. Otherwise, there's medication.
So I guess I'll have to go and buy some running shoes first thing tomorrow then, eh?
This is no laughing matter, Jumbe.
Well, it's good to see you cheerful again, Mr. Jumbe. We'll talk about it in detail later.
Okay.
I'd also advise you to go and see the community health workers regularly. They've been specially trained to offer help and support to people with diabetes. Mm-hmm. Oh, here comes your son.
Hi, Dad.
I'll come and see you again later.
Okay, thank you, Doc.
How are you?
Hey, Nikki.
Nikki, do you not even greet your mother anymore?
When will you stop interfering in my life, Mom?
Nikki, you're my son. I only want what's best for you. And that's certainly not this girl, Mercy, who has another man's child.
For your information, Mercy's a very good mother to Linda. And she's a very responsible person. So just shut up, Mom. Shut up, okay?
Nikki, don't you talk to your mother like that.
Wow, Tina. This place is posh.
You haven't seen anything yet, Mercy. It's good that your mother is taking care of Linda so I could take you out.
Hi, Tina.
Hey, you.
Yesterday was fun, babe.
Well, there's more where that came from. All you have to do is give me a buzz.
Will do. See ya.
See ya.
Is that your boyfriend?
You could say so.
What do you mean?
I don't want to discuss it with you.
But maybe I can help. I told you all about the trouble I'm having with Nikki. Now you can talk to me about your boyfriend.
He's not my boyfriend, okay?
Tina, what's wrong? I just wanted to talk to you. I'm your friend.
I'm sorry. I really could use a friend, actually. But you can't tell anybody about this, okay? Please, especially not Trudy. She'd gossip about it to everyone.
I promise, Tina.
Well, okay. That man is not my boyfriend. He's a client.
So you work for him?
I still don't see... Oh, come on, Mercy. They pay me to have a good time.
What? You're a call girl?
Shh.
But, I mean, how do you... Is this why you haven't been to class much recently? And the car? And... Tina, I think I want to go home.
Just try and understand, okay? Let me tell you my story. Then you can go if you want to. All right.
Come in.
Judge Ray?
Yes. How can I help you?
Your Honor, I have a message for you from the Honorable Mkaraba.
What does he want from me?
Well, he told me to give you this envelope.
Okay. Let's see what's inside. Money. A lot of money. And what exactly does he expect from me?
He asked me to tell you to go easy on the baby kiss.
What did you say your name was again?
I didn't say my name, sir.
Well then, give this money back to the Honorable Mukaraba and tell him that he will have to come and see me in person if he wants my help.
But Your Honor, you...
He comes himself, or there's nothing I can do.
Thanks for staying and listening, Mercy. That's okay, Tina. Hey, and thanks for the drinks. It turned out to be quite fun in the end.
I had fun too.
But I just can't get what you told me out of my head.
Please, don't tell anyone about it. I really need the money. I told you my parents died and I have to take care of my siblings.
But Tia...
Hey, Mercy, I promised to teach you how to drive.
Yes.
Well, here we are. And there's no one around.
Wait, I'm afraid. I've never driven before and I feel a bit gypsy.
It's all right if you don't want to. It was just a suggestion.
Do you know what? Let me try.
So, this pedal here is a brake. You step on it gently when you want to stop.
And what's that other one?
This is the accelerator. You step on it when you want the car to move faster.
Okay. I can do that.
Ready?
Ready.
Okay. No, slowly. Yes, like that.
I'm doing it. I'm driving. This is fun. Hey. You are right.
Watch the road. Stay on this side.
Oh, dear.
The brake. The brake. Stop on the brake.
And with that, we end our program for today. Be sure to join us next time to find out what's happened to Mercy and Tina and to hear how our other heroes' stories continue. If you want to listen to this or previous episodes again, you can do so on our webpage dw.de/LBE. Take care.
And you can hear a repeat of that edition of the Crossroads Generation at this time on Thursday. A reminder of our main stories. In Nigeria, visiting US Secretary of State John Kerry has urged both government and opposition leaders to accept the results of the upcoming presidential elections so as to avoid any potential post-election violence. In Zambia, Edgar Lungu has been sworn in as the country's sixth president. And we've also been hearing how two young women in Zimbabwe have been taking the government to court in a bid to secure a ban on underage marriages. If you'd like to comment on the stories we've been covering, please send an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany, or a text message to country code 49 160957595510. As always, thank you for listening. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.